What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday because it's Tuesday after a long weekend. Hope everyone had an amazing Laborist Day weekend. Hey, Jax, how you doing?
Doing good because it's a short week. Can't wait. It was a great long holiday weekend. I know you had a great jam-packed weekend as well. Probably a little more exciting than mine.
No.
But we don't need to compare.
Agree. We are women who do not compare other women ever.
We are women who support each other's holiday weekends, no matter what.
We support each other's endeavors.
Always.
Always and forever. Yes, I just returned from Turks and Caicos last night. I had the most incredible weekend, like, not to be so annoying. First of all, like, I just forgot about Turks and Caicos as like a potential vacation destination. And if you live on the East Coast, it does feel like, you know, when you compare East Coast to West Coast, people who live in LA, like, they have so many better options. You know, they're so close to Mexico. It's literally a 45-minute flight.
Yeah.
They have Hawaii. Like, we have, like, Florida and then the East Coast of Mexico, which is not as fun as the West Coast of Mexico.
No, the East Coast of Mexico isn't as fun. But then we have the Caribbean, and we have the Bahamas, and we have Turks and Caicos, and we have Dominican Republic, and we have Costa Rica.
So I totally just forgot about Turks and Caicos because we've only been one time we went together. And first of all, can I just say, I don't even want to like say positive things because I don't want anyone to go because it's like, I think it's like a great kept secret, but it's so fast. Literally the flight there was 2 hours and 52 minutes. It was so easy. The way back, the airport is a shit show. Like, it was one of the lowest points of my life. Like, just being hungover, depressed that my trip was over, sweating my fucking tits off.
Sunburnt,
but it was worth it. I'm a little constipated, you know, the classic, you can't go on a trip without getting constipated, but all in all, totally worth it. I had the best time. I went with like the best group of people. It was like a family trip because I had Ben and obviously Counselor Snitch.
Then
it was also like a friends trip because Brian and Taylor and Taylor and John. So it was just incredible. Like, it was so much fun. It was a combination of like truly relaxing while also like lit. You know, we got to explore. We were doing adventurous things, but also relaxing. I have absolutely no regrets about my decision, which is just a great feeling.
That's so great. Was it so hot there?
So technically it's the off season because it's their rainy season. So that's why it was like not empty, but very, very like low key, which I appreciated so much. Like, there's nothing I hate more than going on vacation when like it's busy, you know? And it literally didn't rain. It rained for 10 minutes one day and we were like happened to be eating lunch inside and then we came back out and it was fine.
I'm not worried about the rain because like we get rainstorms here and I guess, you know, it's the off season also in Florida, right. But I'm like, it's so hot here. Is it even hotter there?
It was hot. Yeah. But like, it's not, it's like vacation hot. You know, you appreciate the hotter it is, the better. It's not like I have to live and go to work like in the heat. That is horrible.
Yeah. But like when you're out on the beach, are you dying?
No, it's so breezy, like so, so breezy.
That's gorgeous.
It was amazing. We had this great house. Like, it was so incredible. I have like a newfound love and respect for Turks and Caicos. I like have a, not a newfound, but just a reinstated love of my friends. Like, it was such a great group. And it was just it was such an interesting vibe. Obviously, like, I have different groups of friends and I don't think I've ever really been on a proper vacation with this group as a whole. And it's like the level of comfortable I felt in front of these people. Like, obviously, you know, there's always a level of discomfort when you're in a bathing suit in front of other people.
Yeah.
And I just really didn't have that. And I also, like, you know, on a group trip, there's like a lot of pressure to like always be doing stuff. Like, group trips can be extremely fucking treacherous.
Well, it also depends what kind of travelers you're with. You could have your best friend in the world, but if they mm-hmm. want to go to museums and go sightseeing and you want right. to lay at the beach, like, it's just not going to be a good trip.
If they want to wake up and do Pilates, like, we're just not on the same level.
Even if you're so simpatico, hypnotico, mm-hmm. erotico, you would share your deepest, darkest secrets with them. If they're waking up and doing yoga Pilates, it's not a successful trip. It's not going to work. No.
So everyone was really on the same page. I was just like, I had such a great time. I'm so happy I went. I got tan, which is just, it's an incomparable feeling to be tan. Even if it's, I guess, my lips are like literal raisins. They're so chapped right now and sunburnt. I don't even care. The confidence that a tan gives you is so insurmountable. And try as you may, like, a fake tan is great, but it's never going to be a real tan. And there's nothing that can boost your confidence more than a tan, a real tan.
Did you wear sunscreen?
I did.
Okay, good. Did snitch?
Yes, we all did. Like, the first day, we were like, fuck it. And a few hours in, we were like, we have to put on sunblock.
You
like,
have
we were,
to wear sunscreen.
We were lathering up, but it was useless. It was a fruitless endeavor.
Right, the you're still going to get tan, but you can't just raw dog it so close to the equator in August.
No, you can't, and we didn't, but we're still all, like, pretty burned. My nose is starting to peel. It's, like, my least favorite part of going on vacation, coming back like a crusty girl.
But the crustiness reminds you of the good times that were shared.
Right, like, every time I see, like, on my pillow a little flake of dead skin, I'm like, oh, Brian, John Taylor. Yeah. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I was here. I mean, I guess every day is a vacation when you live in Florida. Not that I, like, spend time outside or went in my pool or anything. I haven't been in my pool since you were here. But it was really nice. It was low-key and fun and family-oriented, and I got to read and watch a little TV. I'm all caught up on Southern Charm. And it was good. I ate a lot.
I saw you taking a selfie with a martini in your hand, and I think we should talk about it.
Okay. What do you want to say about it?
You had a martini?
No, and you know that I didn't.
I know, but, like, I wanted you to have a martini.
She's calling me out so hard. I sent a selfie, and I also posted it to my Instagram where I'm holding a martini, but the truth is that it was Zach's martini, and I was holding it because I thought it looked cool for a photo. The martini looked cool in the photo. I looked like a woolly mammoth.
Oh my God, we have to talk. Like, my weekend was obviously consumed by my vacation, but, like, the last 36 hours have been consumed by Venice Film Festival. Like, if you would have told me last year, Claudia, like, next year you're going to be obsessed with the Venice Film Festival, I would have been like, what change, you know? Yeah. I couldn't be bothered to care about these film festivals, like, ever. But wow, between the Brendan Fraser, Sadie Sink of it all, of course the Don't Worry Darling, extreme awkwardness, I am hooked.
But then there's also, like, there was a boat, a gondola, where Chase Stokes, Sydney Sweeney,
Armani Beauty, Young Cammy Hollywood,
Mendez.
Yeah.
The hits kept coming and they don't stop coming.
Yes, Armani Beauty, like, is perhaps, like, a sponsor of the Venice Film Festival, and they basically did, like, a revolve around the world, but with, like, really premium Young Hollywood, like, the who's who, the it girls and boys of Young Hollywood, and they've been just taking photos. Maude Apatow was there. Mm-hmm. It is this gorgeous group of gorgeous people doing gorgeous things, and while I did live for every minute of it, I also, like, it really just kind of highlighted what a disgusting slob I am. Like, the fact, like, it was too much. It was too glamorous.
Did you see Sabrina Carpenter there having a little moment for herself these days with her new album and her look at the VMAs? And then she wore that head-to-toe Valentino pink Barbie outfit that Anne Hathaway wore. And without being rude, it looked, I preferred it.
Without being ageist.
Yeah, I preferred it on Sabrina.
Okay, I did not see Sabrina Carpenter there, but I love that you brought up the moment Sabrina Carpenter is currently having. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for her.
So, like, happy for her.
Her album is popping off. Everyone is obsessed with it. She's been looking gorgeous. Red carpet, bus, club, another club, bus, no sleep, Venice. Bangs. I'm so happy for her. She bangs. She deserves it. She deserves it. She's been through a lot, and I'm really happy for her.
I personally have been following Sabrina Carpenter for, like, 10 years now. And I'm so happy to see that she's finally having the moment and people are experiencing her in the way that I've been enjoying for 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I've been like following Sabrina Carpenter since that song came out. That was the theme song to her show on
Girl
Disney
Meets
Channel.
World.
What was that song? It was fucking amazing.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I loved that song. Like when I was an intern at AOL, I was listening to it all the time. Like,
yeah,
that's, it's funny how music, like, especially like as it relates to work, you associate different songs with like different jobs.
Yeah. And her first album is so good.
She's an extremely talented queen. And of course, a lot of that was eclipsed momentarily by the Olivia Rodrigo of it all. But now I feel like she's getting her, you know, individuality back.
And she
and
has,
for that, I'm happy.
Her new song I saw she performed on one of the Jimmys. It's called like Because I Liked a Boy. Have you heard it?
Oh, Because I Liked a Boy.
And it's about the saga, how she's, you know, Jezebel.
Yeah, all this crap.
All because she liked loser. A boy.
Yeah, like not even like a special one.
He was literally a boy.
Just a boy, like very regular, like boy.
Boy.
So we're going to get into Venice, obviously.
Venice.
Shia. Shia, Shia.
That Miss was literally Flo. Like,
literally, Shaggy, like on the plane yesterday, I was like, Shia, Shia, Shia. Miss Flo, Miss Flo. I'm obsessed with the saga. And of course, like all eyes are on the Don't Worry, Darling premiere. So every little video, every snippet is like people are blowing it up, like looking in. They think, you know, Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine.
We'll get into all of it. I just want to say, like, knowing that everyone's eyes are on them, I feel like they really, really tried to like not make anything a story other than the movie. And in their efforts are acting so fucking bizarre.
Robotic.
And it's making the whole situation even weirder.
Yes, I agree. I think that they were all extremely well behaved.
But like so
almost
fake.
To the point that it's unnatural.
No, they were so fake. And honestly, they're bad actors. So how could the movie be good? How could the movie be good when the acting is so bad?
Ooh, hot take. So I really don't like have much else to catch up on because literally all I want to do is talk about Don't Worry, Darling. So yeah. If there's anything else, I read another Christina Lauren book that was recommended. Oh, you recommended The Unhoneymooners?
No, I've always had that on my want to read list, but I never read it.
Take it off.
Okay.
Take it off.
I finished Priscilla Presley's memoir.
Oh.
Elvis and Me. And it was really good. And if you do want more info about Elvis, I would watch it because, I'm sorry, I would read it because it gives you a lot of Elvis factoids, a lot of Priscilla. I feel like I got the picture. There's obviously more to Elvis before Priscilla and after Priscilla, but they were together for more than 10 years. So
there's also the Linda Thompson of it all, the Brody Jenner's mom of it all, which I didn't really realize that she had dated Elvis, and that's because I don't follow her on Instagram, because every other photo she posts on Instagram is about Elvis. It's a picture of her and Elvis. I didn't know any of that, but apparently her book is also quite juicy. But it's like, I'm not trying to be mean. I just feel like when I was looking at her social media, it's like, no matter how many Chanel bags you borrow, you will never be Lisa Marie. Like, she thinks like she's the girl
Priscilla.
With Elvis. And it's like, it's Lisa.
It's Priscilla.
Sorry. It's Priscilla, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. But Linda Thompson,
although,
has an incredibly interesting life. I think her book is interesting on its own. If you're going there for the Elvis tea, I don't think it's going to be Priscilla's. But Linda Thompson was just like that woman. She caught every man.
Every man. I also think, I was trying to figure it out when I was looking on her Instagram. I do believe she was with Elvis when he died.
No.
Not physically, but dating.
No, according to Priscilla's book, Linda was with Elvis for 4 years. Priscilla thought that she was good for him. And then he started dating. He was dating a woman named Ginger for a few months. And I think she was the girlfriend.
The last one.
When he passed. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was trying to figure it out. Because she was like, when I found out I was at Graceland. I'm like, wait, so.
She might have been at Graceland. You know, still a member of the family. And
the family.
And the friend group. It was like a big friend group.
Also, Netflix dropped the trailer today for Luckiest Girl Alive, which is, as you guys know, Jackie and I's favorite book. We found out a while ago that Mila Kunis was going to be reprising the role of Ani Finelli. And the trailer came out. I didn't realize, or maybe I just didn't like care to look, that it was going to be a Netflix movie, or like as opposed to being in a theater. I love when they make it easy for us because I can watch it when it comes out, not 6 months later like Elvis. And I just want to say, like, one negative thing.
Oh, okay.
like the trailer was just giving community theater vibes. Like that's all I'll say. But you really can't tell a movie by the trailer. Like you can't judge a book by its cover. I was just getting kind of like low budget energy from the acting.
Oh, that's weird.
That's just me.
I wasn't. I feel like it's got, they're going to pull out all the stops.
I know, just like when Mila Kunis was narrating, she's like, I'm getting married in a lavish but tasteful wedding. Like,
oh, no, it
was
but just like kind of so, cringy. No, that's so Ani. It didn't bother.
It was just kind of cringy.
I didn't get that at all. Honestly, I'm so excited. It looks perfect. I think it's really well cast. I hope they don't change too much about it. Looks like the storyline stays the same. And I can't freaking wait.
Oh, yeah. Connie Britton. That's how you know something's going to be good, when homegirl is there playing someone's mom. Connie Britton, National Treasure. She's in it. If you haven't read the book yet, I would recommend reading it before the movie comes out.
Because we don't know if the movie's going to be good or not. So don't ruin the storyline for yourself on a risk. Read the book. Enjoy the story. Even though anytime I've purposely read a book before watching a movie because I knew a movie or a show was coming out, I never really enjoyed either. Mm. But the book holds up.
The book holds up. And that was a really exciting to get on a Tuesday after a Labor Day, you know?
Yeah. And the guy who plays her fiance is so perfectly cast. And you know he's from The Big Short. I think he's the one who actually coined the phrase in that movie, 1 + 1 = stock.
Oh!
When the stocks were not adding up.
He's also like from a commercial. I think like Progressive. Like he's like a classic guy from one of those commercials.
Yeah, he's a classic guy. Perfect cast.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. 1 + 1 = stock. Now the movie's just even more culturally relevant. And you'd love to see it.
You do.
So we've got a great show. It's Tuesday, which means just business as usual, which is good because we need time to chit chat. You know, girly girl chit chat.
Plus House of the Dragon recap.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'll save it because literally never have I been more confused in my whole life.
Oh, okay, hopefully I can answer some questions, but I don't know shit about fuck either. But
it was extremely confusing.
Okay, we'll chat. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, girly girl, chit chat.
We'll circle back to that recap, but without further ado. How's Du, by the way? Did he have a good holiday weekend?
He did. Of course, he was at his grand's at my in-laws. He loves it there more than he loves it at my house. Definitely depressed when he got home. But his spirits were lifted because this morning he went on a walk with Butters.
And Butters had been MIA.
Butters had been MIA. While Butters wasn't here to pick up Theo, I get a little email after Theo's walk. Like, Theo did great. He did his business, went to the park, and then it said with Butters. So I was like, phew.
The gang is getting back together. Don't tell Bryce.
Butters was on vacation.
Don't tell Bryce. That's the last thing he needs to hear.
I won't. I would never.
Okay. Glad for that update. Without further ado, it is time for the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TOAST to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code TOAST only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting app partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. I was just reminded of something. Mm. Hold on. What in that ad made me want to tell you something?
Sports? Football comes back.
Know what that means? Chili season.
Chili season. If you haven't seen our new TikTok and Reels, go look at it. It's pretty much all the times. It's actually not even all the times. It's probably half the times we talked about making a chili. And if you're looking for something to do this week, how to fall into fall, I would recommend making a chili, but that's just me.
I woke up today and I was like, oh my God, is it a chilly day? Because not only is it officially, you know, not summer anymore, it's the day after Labor Day. It's also raining and like, I don't know if you can see the window behind me. It's like literally pitch black outside. It's a motherfucking chilly day.
Wow. It's not a chilly day here. I feel like not till October will it be a day of chilly. Mm-hmm. But I do look forward to it whenever it comes.
That's so exciting. Like, obviously, a lot of people are sad. The summer is over. I get it. Personally, I'm not. I find summer, obviously, like the shorts of it all to be really stressful, the sweating, all that. I also find like the incessant need to like have something planned on the weekend to be extremely stressful. Like, normalize staying at home, you know? I just hate that shit. And in New York, it's really bad. It's like, are you going to Montauk this weekend? Are you going to Newport? Yeah. Like, no, I want to stay home, bitch. I work really motherfucking hard. Like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
So I'm like looking forward to everyone being like, oh, you want to go to dinner this weekend? Like something normal, yeah. Not like you want to take a trip.
Or like go to the bar, watch the game on a Sunday.
Yes.
And then it's oh, Sunday night. Oh, Sunday night.
Staying on the floor, got your beat, stop back. And got a real good feeling something bad about to happen.
Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night.
Stand on the front. It's literally the song that never ends.
That's the song like Conjunction Junction. It's just like,
yeah,
does sexy. Something to
Sunday
it.
Night about to happen.
It just Whoa. Moves right through you.
It's sticky shoes.
I feel like Elvis with my legs.
Ooh, watch out.
Okay, now I guess we could get into the first story, which is twofold. The Nietzsche Film Festival, I don't know if it started this weekend, but people started to care this weekend. And Florence Pugh joined the cast of Don't Worry, Darling on the red carpet, including Olivia Wilde. And for the first time, we got to know who's in this movie. And it's star-studded, aside from Flo, Miss Flo, and Harry. Rolled.
And Shia's replacement, Harry.
Right. So not only are they in it, but so is Gemma Chan, Nick Kroll, Chris Pine.
Okay. Before I dive into like, obviously the people that like everyone cares about more, I'm more interested in the supplemental characters to this story.
Okay.
First of all, Gemma Chan is such an elegant fucking queen. The fact that she's being like dragged into this is like kind of disgraceful. And just like watching all the footage, seeing the pictures of her just being like, ugh, like... What, like the fact that she's been kind of brought down by this scandal, like I feel for her. She's too elegant. She's too queenie for this.
She's too queenie for this. And the fact that she's in a movie and it's like, we're not even talking about her. That's not going to work. That's not going
to
work.
The second thing I wanted to talk about is Chris Pine. Okay, Chris Pine looked so fucking handsome. Like, I guess I haven't like checked in on Chris Pine in the last, seriously, 5 years. Because like the other Chris's just kind of... They took over, you know, mm-hmm. Evans, Hemsworth. So I kind of forgot about Chris
What's
Pine.
What's the other one? Pratt.
Pratt. But Chris Pine's, like, has aged so beautifully. Like, that hair was stunning. It's like a little salt and pepper. It's nice and long now. He was wearing this extremely kind of stylish, old school brown outfit. It was gorgeous. Like, I was kind of obsessed with Chris Pine. When I feel like of all the Chris's, at least for me personally, like, I just kind of... He was never it for me.
I really love him. I feel like he's been in so many projects that are so good. He kind of does like more lowbrow stuff compared to the other Chris's at this point.
Right.
I agree. I like the look because I feel like up until now we couldn't really tell them all apart. And at least like now he's the blonde Chris who's wearing right. Snitch's Jackamus pants.
Right. And like being one of the male leads against Harry Styles, who's like consistently the most best dressed man in Hollywood, like it has to be frustrating. And I'm sure his stylist, you know, was met with quite the challenge. And boy, did she rise. She rise and she rose and he looked great.
She rose and groaned. Speaking of Harry's style, though, he looked amazing. One of my favorite outfits of his.
Same. It's giving Elton John. It's giving Austin Powers. It was
like Beatles for me.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. Old and British. Literally, we said the same thing.
Old and British. Yeah. And that's my favorite vibe of all.
And then I want to talk about Nick Kroll, who like... I feel like he's such a random celebrity, at least to me. I think like a lot of guys like would consider him like their favorite comedian and like, you know, think about him a lot. Personally, like I've literally never seen anything he's been in. Like I know he does some stand up. I know he does Big Mouth, that cartoon show that Ben fucking loves, that Kiki Palmer is in. Maybe I should watch. But I really have like limited Nick Kroll knowledge. Like he's just kind of this ambiguous celebrity for me. Like I think he's also a podcaster, you know, like I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I'm a obsessed now. Like, first of all, he looked so handsome. Like, he's definitely gotten, like, really handsome in the last couple of years. And then also watching a lot of the footage of the actual movie premiere and then the carpet, it's clear that, like, he's, like, a safe person for Miss Flo.
I feel like he's the glue holding this movie cast together.
I feel like he's the only one that, like, Flo opens up to. And, like, they obviously, I think, really connected. And this is just from reading body language. And honestly, never in my life have I been even remotely interested in hearing what a body language expert has to say. Because I think most of the time, they literally make that shit up in, like, magazines and on E! News.
Yeah.
However, I would love the world's premier body language expert to do a full, like, 10-minute breakdown video on these people. Because the vibe that I got was that, like, Flo really only feels comfortable with this group, because I imagine that, like, obviously she can't talk to Harry or Olivia because they're a team she would feel ganged up on. Mm-hmm. Gemma Chan is not getting involved. She's like, leave me
she's
out
above
of this,
this
lowbrow crap. Chris Pine is like this seasoned older, he's like, he's not going to get involved in the nitty gritty. He's going to be nice to everyone and do his job, keep his head down. And that leaves Nick Kroll. And I think he's like this funny guy. I kind of like Ship, you know, she is no longer with Zach Braff. I'm new to the Nick Kroll fandom, so I don't even know if he has a girlfriend or anything, but I kind of ship him and Miss Flo.
I ship Chris Pine and Miss Flo. And did you see Chris Pine taking those pictures of Miss Flo, supporting her, like helping her get the content? That's where my heart goes, but I'll be fine with either. I think once this is a wrap, I don't think she wants anything to do with any of these people.
No, but I do think, like, she might have forged a friendship with Nick Kroll. Like, I really believe
that. A friendship for life?
Yeah, like, you never forget the people who are there for you. And Flo seems very down to earth. Like, she doesn't seem like a big diva.
Yeah, because she's really doing a great job.
An artist.
Of doing, like, what she needs to do to promote the movie. She didn't do the panel, which, good for her, because it looked fucking boring as fuck, considering what we're all talking about. Olivia refuses to nourish the internet.
Oh, okay, so let's talk about that. Obviously, they did this press conference, and of course, somebody asked a question, like, Miss Flo is not here, the video, yada, yada. And she gave, like, literally not only the most, like, well-rehearsed, but kind of, like, condescending answer, just basically saying, like, the internet and the tabloid culture, like, it feeds itself, so I don't feel the need to contribute. And while that is, like, a general statement on tabloid culture, for sure, this is not tabloid culture. Literally, Shia LaBeouf sent in a video of you. Like it's literally happening in front of our eyes. So just to dismiss it as if it's like rumors, you know, like Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt getting back together. Like, it's so, like, dismissive and not at all indicative of what actually went down.
Yeah. And the rest of the press conference looked like a snooze fest. So big maybe because Miss Flo wasn't there and anything without her is snooze worthy.
And then another reporter tried to ask a question, and it's clear, like, there were
boundaries. And then some woman,
in.
Like, jumped in to,
answer the
to defend Olivia's honor.
Right. It was so beyond painful to watch everyone.
Yeah.
And there's so many clips, like, that have gone viral. Have you seen the one of, like, Harry answering a question? And I love Harry, but he answered it in the most dumb way ever.
It was a word salad. Said a whole lot of nothing.
It was a word salad. He said, the thing I like about...
I didn't take him for a word salad kind of guy. I took him for, like, a meaningful artist sort of guy.
Wordsmith.
Yeah, no, like, only gives us a few words... And they mean something.
They're powerful.
Not
so he
a whole load of nonsense.
He was answering a question about what he liked about the movie. And he was like, what I like about the movie is that it's a real movie. And Chris Pine, who's literally been acting for 30 years, is sitting next to him like, what? Literally what? He's like, it's like a movie that you see in the theater.
Yeah, it's like a film, you know, like one of the films that you watch.
In Harry's defense, he did then say, like, I don't really know if that was an answer. It was kind of just like words, but whatever.
He said that?
So, yes. So he at least acknowledged the moronic thing that came out of his mouth. I think it's probably very hard for everyone, specifically Harry and Olivia, to be doing their jobs to the best of their ability right now, because nobody cares really about what they have to say about the movie. Like, we want to know the details. And there's so many, like, people talking about Olivia and Harry because they literally did not touch, look at each other during the entire evening, whether it was on the red carpet, at the premiere. So a lot of people think they broke up. A lot of people think that, like, they don't want... First of all, even though we know a lot about them, they're actually not a public couple. They've never walked a red carpet together. Harry's just so famous that anyone he dates becomes, like, fodder for conversation, even though he's not really living a public relationship. It just feels that way because... Because we know everything.
Yes, but also she goes to his shows. And I think that's been the key.
Yes, that's what I was thinking this morning. Like, that's literally like the most public thing that they do. And it's like kind of crazy that she's like literally on a whirlwind tour.
Yeah, but no, they didn't speak to each other, didn't look at each other. I think they're together, but didn't want their relationship to overshadow the movie. And also, like, I think it would do more to, like, undermine her as a director and give credence to this thing about, like, you know, her not taking the job seriously if she uses this premiere to show up and make a statement about her relationship as opposed to the work. Personally, I don't think it would have done that, but I could see how she might think that and not want to just give any more fuel to, like, this movie is not about the movie.
Yes, I completely agree with what you said. I will say, I thought Olivia looked gorgeous. Like, that yellow dress, like, I just need, you know?
Yeah. No, she did look really gorgeous. And then the other moment that everyone's talking about is Harry Styles potentially allegedly spitting on Chris Pine as he took his seat for the movie.
So this is why I need a body language expert. Like, this clip has gone viral. It really does look like Harry, like, juts out his chin before sitting down next to Chris Pine. And, like, then Chris Pine looks at his leg where allegedly the spit may have fallen. And he's, like, dumbfounded. And then they never make eye contact. Like, is there beef now between Chris Pine and Harry Styles? I don't know.
Okay, this is my theory. I think that, like, Harry Styles and Chris Pine have some sort of prankster relationship with one another. Maybe it's the sort of pranks where they spit on each other at inopportune times. Obviously, Chris never thought he would do that as the world's eyes are on them. But Harry had a loogie hocked up and ready to go. And Chris Pine obviously can't react because, but I think it's a prank. I think that's what pranksters do.
I could see it being a jovial moment between two male counterparts.
And then you see Harry getting like so serious, like, thank you, because Chris Pine can't react. I think he spat on him as a prank. I think they spit on each other back and forth, as pranksters do.
The way that I feel like this is one of the most historic moments in pop culture, like, I think in like years from now, we will look at this, like, because there's always drama between castmates, and maybe there's whispers that like two leads don't like each other, but we've never really had like this level of like expose on a cast.
Evidentiary support.
Former employees coming forward with videos and screenshots and text messages. Like, this is like so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the magnitude of it is not lost on me.
Right. And I think they tried so hard to put it aside for Vinice. And I don't think they could have done a worse job. The fact that there had to be a buffer in between Olivia and Harry and Miss Flo, like Gemma and Chris Pine were constantly just like, it's so bizarre.
And really the takeaway for me is justice for Gemma. It ain't right.
It ain't right.
She is literally like the world's leading international movie star. Like, leave her alone.
Yeah. So are you going to see the movie?
That's the thing. It's like, no press is bad press. Like, everyone's talking about Don't Worry, Darling. And while my interest in this saga has peaked to a level I never expected, I like literally couldn't care less about seeing the movie. Isn't that crazy?
I just want to know if it's good. Then all of this is really a shame that it's distracting. But I do think it's also giving press. I just want to know, like, what are we fighting for?
No, and for me, like, one thing I never expected was that, like, the girl who played the bartender on the OC to become, like, one of the film industry's leading female directors. Like, I just didn't see that.
Right, like, people direct movies all the time. A lot of actors, like, go into directing, like, and she's just, like, at Venice Film Festival.
Right, no, because, like, I think the fact that she was able to finance this movie as a female director, get Harry Styles, like, it's a huge accomplishment for women in directing.
Yes, and also, I don't know how many other movies she's done before this, but she did Booksmart, which was so critically acclaimed. So she has a really good track record.
Yeah, and so she's on this path to becoming, like, one of the best and most critically acclaimed female directors of our time. And the way that this scandal, I think, has really affected that is not good.
Yeah, because also, not only is there scandal, but there's accusations of her not being a good director, present director, professional.
And not protecting her female leads. And it's like, that's what this whole Time's Up movement, that's what the whole women in directing kind of energy is for. It's like, obviously women deserve more opportunities, but then they're also in charge and they're going to protect their female actors. Like, it was, you know, rumored that she was having Shia LaBeouf and Florence Pugh, like, in these very, there's a lot of really intimate scenes in the film, and there was no intimacy coordinator. Like, your female director should be protecting your female lead. And so it's like, this was supposed to be this amazing thing for women, and she was going to start getting these big movie budgets and protecting women, and time's up. And here she is, like, being a part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's so beyond disappointing. Like, it's beyond.
It all comes back to the intimacy coordinator.
Jackie, exactly.
And you continue to make the case and to persuade. I'm convinced, but you continue to convince me every day.
That intimacy coordinators are so necessary. And so the fact that, like, a female-led film didn't want, like, it's
disappointing.
There's no hope.
It's disappointing. It's a perfect word.
There's literally no hope for, like, Hollywood, honestly. If even, like...
No, there's what? There's no hope for Hollywood.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's beyond moronic. I've enjoyed this saga immensely. I cannot wait to see what happens next. It's juicier than the drama in the film, honestly.
It really is. And I spoke too soon because there is one hope for Hollywood. And it's
Brendan Fraser.
And it's Venice Film Festival Subset B. Brendan Fraser receives a standing ovation and is moved to tears at the Venice Film Festival after he received 6 minutes of praise for his new movie, The Whale, which in which he plays a morbidly obese man. Have you seen photos? He's wearing, like, prosthetics, CGI. Huge, yeah. And I don't know the plot, but I didn't want to read more.
Oh, I know the plot.
Do you like the
plot?
Do
you want me to tell you? Yeah. It's very basic.
Okay, tell me.
So he is morbidly obese. He is gay, and his partner, like the love of his life, passes away. And now he's trying to reconnect with, you know, his daughter from really like a former life who he hasn't spoken to, who's Sadie Sink. Who looked, oh my God.
Oh my God.
The way I would take a bullet for Sadie Sink.
We're not worthy. Okay, so Hollywood has two hopes.
Three. Kiki Palmer.
Three hopes. Like, oh, four. Three hopes. Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson. Okay, but that's it.
No more hope.
The way I'm so moved by this story, one, because I've been following this Brendan Fraser saga for a while, and I've, through this story that happened yesterday, this video went viral, the movie ends, The Rock posted the video, everyone is being like, love Brendan Fraser, so happy for him, nobody has worked harder for longer. I'm literally going to cry. And I didn't really even realize why so much of the interest in Brendan Fraser peaked, because Brendan Fraser for a really long time was like the it man of Hollywood. Like, he was in George of the Jungle. Like, he was literally could not make a bad film. Like, he was the star. Mm-hmm. And then, like, kind of quickly things changed for him. And I think a lot of people forgot about him. And then there was like this resurgence, whatever happened to Brendan Fraser. And I didn't even know, but that Brendan Fraser has spoken out about the fact that he was groped by the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And he spoke out about it. And a lot of people believe he's been blackballed because of it. So this comeback is obviously layered, mostly because, like, against all odds, like, he spoke up against, like, this powerful Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And he's been given kind of like a second chance. One, through the internet. Like, I think the internet really rallied around mm-hmm. him. And two, through Darren Aronofsky. Darren Aronofsky said this movie took him 10 years to get made because he could not cast it. Like, he looked at everyone. Like, and obviously there's backlash because he's morbidly obese and they didn't use a morbidly obese actor, whatever. But he was so hell-bent on finding the right actor that it took him so long until he landed on Brendan Fraser. So it's just this, like, amalgamation of amazing things for Brendan Fraser. And, like, I'm so overjoyed. I'm so emotional about it too. Like, I love Brendan Fraser. I would take a bullet, several.
Wow, I didn't know some of that. That's amazing.
I didn't know about that thing either.
Makes
about
this
the Hollywood
moment
Press.
Even more sweet,
more kind of full circle. More, it's like justice. It's justice.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, meaningful, because even like the cast of Don't Worry, Darling got a standing ovation. I think, you know, people in Venice just like to stand and clap.
Thank you. Literally, thank you. Like, I honestly, thank you. Thank you. Because we have taken standing ovations to another level. Even me, by the way, like, when I finish a show, I'm like, thank you. Everyone stand and dance with me. And Ben's like, you had a standing ovation. I'm like, it doesn't really count.
If I told them to
rise. Because I asked them to.
Right.
But feel free, by the way, if you're coming to see one of my shows, girlwithnojob.com/tour, standing at the end is beyond mandatory, okay? Just act like you're in Venice.
Everyone gets a standing ovation. Now, in general, like a concert, of course, you stand and clap at the end. What are you, a monster?
It's the right, it's the appropriate thing to do.
But something about these videos, not the Brendan Fraser one, of just people having watched a movie and crying and clapping, like.
No, I know. It's like staged.
No, it's just like, it's a movie. They were pretending.
But this one feels different with Brendan Fraser.
No, no, I'm not talking about Brendan Fraser. They're not. I know. They weren't even clapping for the movie. They were clapping for the man. I can respect clapping for a man, but to clap like that, so emotional for a movie.
It's like.
Like, unless it's The Greatest Showman, sit the fuck down.
No, seriously, like, unless it's like Schindler's List, like, it's just a movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about The Whale. I don't know if it's based on a true story, but the way I'm dying to see this movie, even though I know it's going to absolutely destroy me. I cannot wait.
Yes. And now, of course, it's giving. There's buzz that I just created. Oscar buzz.
Oscar.
It makes you think. It's a one-man movie. He has a standing ovation. He's playing he's carrying the film. It's Darren Aronofsky.
If Brendan Fraser wins an Oscar, like, I'm going to make a promise right now. No. Okay, ready? If Brendan Fraser doesn't win the Oscar, I'm going to get a bob.
Okay. So I'm personally campaigning for Harry Styles to win for Don't Worry, Darling.
He's not going to.
That's like, my personal then.
He's not.
Because you need a bob.
No, I know. But is Academy Awards, is that the Hollywood Foreign Press? Yes, right? Is the president who he spoke out against still the president? Like, it might be very difficult for him.
Hollywood.
Unless there's been a total changing of the guard.
No, Hollywood. That's why I just, HFPA is the Golden Globes.
Oh, okay. But that's really why I just think, like, Hollywood is so bullshittery. Mm-hmm. Like, the way, like, they all rallied around Time's Up and got us all, like, galvanized. And it's like, you are the ones who have to change, not us.
Yeah, no, but there was also, and, like,
you didn't even do anything.
There was Time's Up on Time's Up and corruption there.
Right. And, like, I felt like everyone was like, we got Harvey, it's over. And it's like, do you know how many Harveys there are who aren't even that famous? So, like, no one's talking about them, but they're just as powerful.
But also just as powerful Harveys, I'm sure. And all the people who protect Harveys.
Right. So it's like that now in hindsight, like, while it felt so nice at the time and it was like, finally, like, we're gonna. Now it's like, really? Like, everything that still comes out, it's just, it was giving low energy. It was giving nothing.
Yeah.
So I really hope that we can continue to protect Brendan Fraser at all costs. Like, the way I see a picture of him and I want to start hysterically crying is not fucking normal. I love this man. I love this man. This man I love. Love I, man this. Love this, I man.
Okay, well, now we can put our energy towards Brendan Fraser winning an Oscar. That wasn't English.
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser winning an Oscar, and that will get us excited about the Oscars, something that is so hard to muster up excitement for these days. Like, the last Oscars couldn't catch me caring about one movie.
Not a minute.
None, not one.
None of the above.
I don't think
zero.
I don't think I saw, oh no, we saw Eyes of Tammy Faye, and I saw House of Gucci. But still, I really don't care.
Yeah, no, I love Tammy Faye, though.
In the words of Demi Lovato and Cheryl Lloyd, I really don't care.
Wow, niche reference.
It came up on my Spotify yesterday because I was listening to 10 Things I Hate About You radio.
Oh, you have got to be stopped.
Never. I love it. I went for a run. Yes. Humble brag. And I listened.
What? Wait. Start over.
I told you that I just finished breastfeeding, by the way. Just a little update about me. Yesterday was.
That's huge.
Yesterday was the first day that I didn't pump or nurse. And that's that on that.
Are you leaking?
No. Wow. That was never my issue. That was never my issue.
Oh.
The opposite, you know?
Right.
Supply chain crisis. So I'm now putting those efforts towards working out and eating right. I'll let you know how it goes.
Oh my God. How was the jog? Did you get out of breath?
I did. No, it was great. It was great to move. It was a walk / run, you know, depending on the song that came up. I would run for the chorus and then take my sweet time. But it's also 90 degrees. So.
No. Like, literally, I can't run for 15 seconds without literally needing to go to the hospital.
Yeah. But it was 10 Things About You radio that got me through. So thanks, artist of who's
Leah Kate.
Leah Kate. That's what I thought, but I just didn't want to get it wrong.
That's okay.
That would have been really embarrassing.
Beyond.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Just ready right now.
Yeah, no, I'm just like totally ready.
Right, because it's a story that's going to make you fucking sick for the day. Okay? There's always one.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany Haddish is addressing molestation allegations. Quote, I know people have questions. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. A lawsuit was filed against Tiffany Haddish and fellow comedian
Ari Spears,
accusing them of molestation by Jane Doe and John Doe, a brother and sister who are anonymously suing the
minors.
Two comedians. One of them is now 14 years old, the boy, John Doe, and the girl is 22 years old. But these allegations happened when the girl was 14 and the boy was 7. They said that their mom was a comedian who met Tiffany Haddish through the comedic circle, and Tiffany and Ari Spears put them in some comedic sketches that were wildly inappropriate, grooming, just awful, awful instances. There's a whole article in the Daily Beast with the allegations and all of the details.
Yeah, so basically they were making some videos for Funny or Die.
Not for Funny or Die. They posted the video, like Funny or Die.
Yeah. No, they made it to post it on Funny or Die.
Okay, but Funny or Die has like a community aspect where it's not, they're not produced. Wait. No, but because like, don't drag them into this because they also,
I'm not.
They took it down.
Let me finish my sentence.
They took it down.
No, so what's interesting is that like they posted their own user-generated content on Funny or Die, I guess, in hopes to, you know, go viral, create some sort of traction. And it was removed immediately by Funny or Die. They were like, this is user-generated content. It has nothing to do with us. Once it was put up, it was flagged immediately and removed immediately. Like, it's disgusting. So this was not like, like at the time, people thought it was fucking weird too.
Yeah, so the girl was in a sketch where she's like, eating a sub and they wanted it to be like fellatio-esque. Meanwhile, she's a 14-year-old girl. Like, it was giving like Dan Schneider.
It was, yes.
And then the boy who was 7 years old was in a sketch called Through the Eyes of a Pedophile. And they're zoomed in on, it's so nauseating. They're like,
this is
framed,
so disgusting.
Like, zoomed in on his,
stop. Okay.
Okay.
We get it.
Read the article for yourself. Fucking nauseating. Awful. And now Tiffany Haddish is responding because the lawsuit is now out there with all the details. She said, I know people have a bunch of questions. I get it. I'm right there with you. Unfortunately, because there's an ongoing legal case, there's very little that I can say right now. But
okay, Erica Jane with the
literally.
I hate when people say that, even though it is true. Like, it's annoying.
But clearly, while this sketch was intended to be comedic, it wasn't funny at all. And I deeply regret having agreed to act in it. I really look forward to being able to share a lot more about this situation as soon as I can.
So this guy, Ari Spears, who I had really not heard of until literally a week ago, was recently just getting, you know, in the news because he's been saying like really fucking gross, disgusting things about Lizzo. So this guy is just like obviously gross.
Yeah.
I never in my life expect, when I saw this headline, I was like, what? Tiffany Haddish grooming? I was like, it was so shocking to me. And the statement from their attorneys and Ari Spears was, you know, this is a shakedown. These plaintiffs have went to lawyers all throughout town trying to get them to take on our case to shake us down for money. It's so disgusting and condescending. I feel like vomiting from this story. Like, it's wild and it's so disgusting. And it's like, what is with people and kids?
What is with everyone being a fucking pedophile or being like, fine with pedophile, like, oh, little right. pedophilia humor. No, right.
No, it's so weird. Like, it's becoming like so common. Like, every actor has some sort of like pedophilia drama. Like, that's not normal.
No, it's not normal.
It's like, it's minor attracted persons. Like, I can't. The destigmatization of pedophilia, like, I'm not here for it. We need to restigma.
We need to increase the stigma. Turn
more
it up.
More stigma.
Crank it up.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And it's just becoming like commonplace. Like, everyone, oh, pedophilia. It's like, what? We are not protecting the kids. Like, it's really making me upset. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. We're not protecting the kids.
As Taylor Armstrong would say, enough. Enough.
Yeah. What's so weird is I have a stack of books here that mm-hmm. I rest my computer on, and Tiffany Haddish's book is in there.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't. I actually look at it every day, and I was thinking about reading it. No.
Nah.
No thanks. I'm tossing it. I can't look at it every day. I only have Icons Only. Claudia Ashray, Girl with No Job.
Do you need more copies?
Yeah. I want a whole shelf in my house.
You got it.
It's actually like really not that iconic. I should switch them out. Like the other books, because you're you're with a bunch of losers and pedophiles, alleged.
Okay, I can move on from the pedophilia, honestly. It's like not the vibe.
No, it's not the vibe. But you know what is the vibe? Our next story, because Jennifer Lawrence is opening up about what it's like being a new mama, and she's sharing the details.
Thankfully, Kylie, take notes.
So
we got a name and a gender.
Jennifer Lawrence is on the cover of Vogue for October, and the New York Post wants me to subscribe to Post Sports. It's not going to happen. Okay, she's on the cover of Vogue. She's revealing the name and sex of her six-month-old baby. Jennifer Lawrence revealed her six-month-old child's name and sex on Tuesday, telling Vogue in her October 2022 cover story that she gave birth to a baby boy in February. The little one's moniker was inspired by one of her husband Cook Maroney's favorite artist, Cy Twombly. So her bebe's name is Cy. Hold on.
Spelled C-Y.
C-Y, yeah.
It's a really cute name. Just everything Jennifer Lawrence does is so fucking elegant. Like, I want to tell somebody the name of my child. Put it in Vogue.
Yeah.
Like, I'll call the cover. Anna. Right. Oh, the cover? Sure, I could pencil it in. Like, she's so classy.
Yeah.
And I fucking love this bitch. I love this bitch. She's the definition of everything of the sort.
And she's a Darren Aronofsky girly.
Yes. What was she in, Darren Aronofsky? Mother. Mom? Yeah.
Yeah. And she's, you know, there's a lot of info. She's really opening up in this article. And I guess if you're Jennifer Lawrence, like, you're only going to open up for Vogue. She doesn't just put it on the gram, talking about how motherhood has changed her love for babies now, how she never thought she could love her baby like more than she loves her cat. She thought, like, maybe I'll love
relatable.
Him. She was like, maybe I'll love him as much as I love my cat. But no, she's the whole new woman. And she said this could, you know, potentially affect like the roles that she takes from now on, like being from a new mama perspective, which
of course, really changes everything. Yeah, no, I feel like when you become a parent, like everything you contribute to the world, like you want it to be like safe and positive and fun and light.
It just changes your perspective on everything. It's wild.
No, your perspective is literally like changed.
Changed. Is yours not being like an auntie of two?
Not really.
Oh.
Maybe I don't love my niblings that much.
If you don't want to change the world for them.
And I just think it's crazy. Like, we still don't know Kylie's baby's name. Like, that's what I find interesting from this story.
You know what I find interesting about that piece is that I'm at peace with it. Like, I don't ever need to know her baby's name. I don't ever need to, like, see her baby. I'm okay with that. Maybe that's my new mama perspective, though. Maybe. And what's crazy is actually before I gave birth, I was like, where's the name?
Right.
I demanded it.
I don't think I'm at peace. I think I just don't care anymore. Like, it's been too long. You can only care about something for so long without getting anything in return. Like, I can't keep caring.
Yeah, I just, like, don't feel curious. And maybe now I actually am a little more curious about Chloe's baby name.
Yes, well, Chloe still has time, you know? She's a new mama.
She has time, curious time.
Gonna me up and live and move on. And it's cool, baby, with me. You know when you start singing a song, and literally what song is that? Wait, let me think.
You don't
Isn't
know.
It just so pretty to think all along. Oh, yeah, Taylor Swift. It's just funny how, like, literally lyrics are ingrained in my brain, and sometimes I don't even know what song they're, but I'm singing it, like, knowing every word.
Agreed, same, but you didn't even know it was Taylor?
No, I literally was like, is this Casey Musgraves, Harry Styles, Luke Combs?
I knew it was Taylor.
Baby with me. Oh, my God. So do you know, like, so that's Invisible String by Taylor. And do you know, like, the Swifty theory on that?
I saw something, but I forget.
That, like, literally, like, they just make fun of the fact that, like, pretty much in the whole song, she's calling Joe Alwyn poor.
Yes. Okay. That's what I saw.
Like, but I didn't have a job at the ice cream shop. Ick.
I didn't click the link.
It's so funny. Every time I see them, I send them to Snitch. It makes me laugh so much. Just because, like, in a couple times in the song, she says things like, oh, you used to work at the ice cream shop, like, for some extra money. Like, normal things people did. But, you know, Taylor grew up, like, in a mansion. So it's like, if you listen to the song through the perspective of like her calling her boyfriend poor, like it's actually so funny.
Okay.
Green was the color of
the grass where I used to read at Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop you used to work at to make a little money. Time, curious time, gave me no compasses, gave me no signs. Were there clues I didn't see? And isn't it just so pretty to think all along there was some invisible string tying you to me? Okay, just the yogurt shop.
Bad was the
blood of the song in the cab on your first trip to LA. Love a self-reference.
But it's like he took a cab, you know? Like, if you just, like, if you really stretch and, like, read the song through the perspective she's money-shaming.
You ate at my favorite spot for dinner. Bold was the waitress on our three-year trip getting lunch bound by the lakes.
And then it's like they go down to the lakes for lunch and, like, obviously she's rich and famous. Like, the waitress knows her, but not him.
She said I looked like an American singer. Time, mystical time, cutting me open, then healing me fine. Were there clues I didn't see? And isn't it just so pretty to think all alone there was some invisible string? A string that pulled me out of all the wrong arms right into that dive bar. Something.
Dive bar, cheap shithole. Isn't it funny? And I'm sure, like, not at all is that what she meant, but it's actually funny. Like, Taylor, your privilege is showing.
Something wrapped all of my past mistakes in barbed wire, chains around my demons, wool to brave the seasons. One single thread of gold tied me to you.
Gold that she purchased, not him. Don't get it twisted.
It was only one single thread of gold.
And it wasn't even 18 carats.
He couldn't go for two.
I just think that sometimes the Swifties are crazy, but that is fucking funny.
That is funny. Great. I'm glad that we explored that. Also, before we move on, not to ruin the Jennifer Lawrence cover, but it is flawed. Because on the cover, there's an essay called Marilyn and Me by Lena Dunham. So.
Well, that's so classic Lena Dunham. Me and Ben started a show. Have you heard of Industry?
Yes.
Me and Ben watched the first episode. When I tell you, I've never had worse anxiety watching a show. It is so, oh my God.
I can't do that.
Pit inducing. So we liked it, but we were also like, why are we putting our mental health at risk just to watch this dumb show? And literally the first episode ended and it says, directed by Lena Dunham. So we didn't watch
anymore. So crazy. I see so many commercials for Industry and they never tell you that it's directed by Lena Dunham.
I don't think they want
to lead with
people
it.
To know.
No. Was it good?
I mean, yes, but no. Like, it was very harrowing.
Yeah.
Like, just these young kids who'll do anything to be successful. Like, it was really, really, it was upsetting. I feel like you might like it, though.
No, I don't like shows that give you anxiety like that. Like, unless you're taking me to another realm.
Yeah, totally. I hate shows that like really like make me feel actual anxiety for the characters. It's like I have enough problems in my own life.
Yeah, like House of the Dragon, I feel it all day long on behalf of
Damon. Right, because it's like not real
right,
at all.
Right, exactly.
And the way, I'd take a bullet for that Damon boy.
We're almost there. One more story. Can you wait with your bullets?
Is it the story that's brought to you by Jenny Kane?
It is.
New season is upon us. It's chilly season, and it's a great time to bring a new point of view into every room in your home. So as you guys know, I've been sharing on my Instagram, I'm totally refreshing my home, not like a crazy overhaul, but like new pieces, like small things like candles, big things like blankets, furniture, chairs. And Jenny Kane is the perfect place to start if you're looking for a refresh. Some of their most iconic and signature pieces are the Vista Collection. It's their most anticipated home launch, which is inspired by the best of California design. You can make the most of every outdoor moment. It's designed for a season spent al fresco. Pre-order today to prepare for your best summer yet. If you weren't happy with the vibes that were accumulated this summer, start now because Jenny Kane's new collection, it's highly anticipated. It'll all be ready by next summer and you still can get a great deal. They also have the Miramar collection, which is a versatile linen suited to everywhere from the bedroom to your living room, and any piece in the collection is destined to be treasured for years to come. That one is in stock and ready to ship. Your dream is going to await you, and take advantage of it being in stock. As you guys know, supply chain is real. So many of furniture companies having major delays, but they are in stock, which is premium and very rare. And they also have the Pacific Bed, which comes in linen and buccal, also known as boucle. Finding the perfect bed can be tough, because you want it to be elevated, but you also want it to endure, be strong. And the Pacific bed comes in classic colors and timeless fabrics that work with any bedroom style. It is a piece that you will enjoy for years to come. Jenny Kane Home creates California-inspired classics for any room or mood. They're grounded in natural textures, inviting neutrals, and they're the pieces that you'll love coming home to. Check out the Jenny Kane Home membership to experience the best of Jenny Kane Home for just $150 annually. You can get insider-only perks that get you one step closer to your dream space and discount on furniture. You can get 20% off all furniture and home decor, free shipping on furniture, and early product access, and much more with a Jenny Kane Home membership. You can join at jennykane.com/membership or go to jennykane.com/home to create the space you'll never want to leave. Again, that's jennykane.com/home to create the space you'll never want to leave, and jennykane.com/membership to check out that membership pricing. And Jenny Kane is spelled JenniKayne.com/home.
Great. Thank you so much, McClardia.
You're welcome.
What can I say except you're welcome.
Your anklet.
Yeah, just a joke from my Instagram that I posted last night. Check it out. Give it a like.
Oh, you know, somebody left a comment that really made me think. I think about this a lot sometimes since, like, we're constantly growing, like, literally the biggest podcast on the planet. Someone was like, you girlies just say stuff without context all the time. Like, who are these people you're talking about? And so I would feel weird being like, you know, Ben and I, my husband. But, like, I do think sometimes we need to be a little bit more contextualized.
Okay, like what?
I don't know, but the girl was like, I literally never know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. We'll have to do a refresher, but like at the top of an episode. But here's just mm-hmm. the bare basics. Ben is Claudia's husband. Zach is my husband. Theo's Claudia's dog. Bruno is my dog. We call them Brass and Strassen. Brass, any variation. Bruce, Bryce, Bryson. That's Bruno.
Thrice,
Theo, Dora, Theodora. That's Theo.
Crunchy.
When I say, without further ado, I'm talking about Theo because... We call him Theodora. That's why. That's that.
Jackie's son is Rolled/Roldini/Harry, even though he's really just Rolled now.
Yeah, it's Harry's house that I live in. Claudia calls him Rolled. And then
our sister, when we say snitch, that's our youngest sister, Margo. She hosts a podcast on our network
called The Snatcher. So when you say Margo and I went to Turks and Caicos and then I'm over here, I say The Snatcher and I go like that. It's just because she's a snatcher.
Right. Our older sister, her name is Olivia. Her daughter's name is Michaela, but she goes by Kaylor Swift, her royal K-ness.
Kaylor. And Claudia is McClurdia, named after Emily Ratajkowski's ex-husband, Sebastian McClurd.
I like that one.
McClurdia. And now it's time for our fifth and final story, now that we just covered all of that. Spencer Pratt claims Lisa Kudrow told Heidi Montag that he has the eyes of a serial killer. Spencer Pratt doubled down on his claim that Lisa Kudrow is one of the worst humans he's ever met. The Hills alum continued stirring the pot with a new video shared to TikTok on Saturday in which he detailed an alleged conversation between Lisa Kudrow and his wife Heidi Montag. He said, the year was 2009 and Heidi and I were invited to our first elite A-list party. It was clear when we got there, no one wanted us to be there. He said, it was almost like we were filming for Punk'd and the camera was going to pop up, but Heidi and I didn't care as there was delicious food and an open bar. As we were sitting there consuming a little caviar, Phoebe approaches with a little, which was a little shocking as no one had spoken to us at all at the party. He then alleged that the star proceeded to tell his wife Heidi that, quote, she needs to get away from me as fast as possible because I'm going to murder her, and that he had the eyes of a serial killer. According to Spencer, Heidi waited to see if it was a joke before realizing that it clearly wasn't. Quote, maybe this is a bit, a skit, maybe this is a hidden camera party and why we were invited to this elite party, but no one laughs. She just walks away, and that right there was the rudest moment I've ever encountered with a human being.
Right. So somebody asked on TikTok, like, who is the rudest celebrity you've ever met? Spencer said Lisa Kudrow. People were quaking because Lisa Kudrow is America's sweetheart. Phoebe from Friends, Romy and Michelle, like, she's an icon. So then people were requesting he tell the story. He did it in like three parts, of course, like being clickbaity. And to be honest, while I do feel like, you know, his feelings might be valid, I do feel like people at the time, like, knew Heidi and Spencer from the show. They made Spencer out to be like such a villain that he was like literally taking advantage of Heidi. And I think in her own way, like, Lisa Kudrow maybe thought she was helping Heidi, not just being like a nasty bitch.
Yeah. I think anybody.
So I don't really feel like this counts as like a story like Lisa Kudrow's mean in person, you know?
Yeah, I think anybody who watched the show back then, we weren't like enlightened enough to realize how fake it was, how much Spencer and Heider were putting on. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just watch the show and it's reality TV, you take it at face value. Like, Spencer is not a good guy. And right. Maybe you're really invested in the show and, like, you go to Heidi and you try and warn her off this guy who you think you know him, but the point is that you don't. But we did not know that then.
No, of course not. And so, like, if an older woman saw them at a party and, like, we were all so enwrapped, like, oh, my God, we have to get her away from Spencer. Like, Lisa Kudrow might have just been watching the show and then took it upon herself, like, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to, like, try and be helpful. Now, knowing what we know, like, there really wasn't anything wrong with Spencer. They were, you know, just villainized for the point of entertainment. So knowing what we know now, it sounds like a really mean thing to do. But at the time, I could see her just thinking it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Then Bethany Frankel is also saying that she agrees.
You know, one thing I did not see on my bingo card this year is like the downfall of Bethany Frankel.
Why did Bethany agree with Spencer? What'd she say?
I don't know. But she also said she had like a negative interaction with Lisa Kudrow. And like the way Bethany has been in the news these last couple of weeks, just like getting into petty fights with other celebrities. Like, she just had this thing with Courtney Stodden. Courtney Stodden was like, literally, you calling out the Kardashians is hilarious because look at this clip of me on your show. I literally left your show, your talk show back in the day, hysterically crying. She literally, Bethany was like, you came here and said you don't want to do porn, but you have really huge tits and blonde hair. Like, you look like a stripper. Like, Bethany was being so condescending to this 19-year-old girl. It's like, and that's what we were saying. Like, if you're going to criticize the Kardashians, you have to have a perfect image. Like, you have to always be supporting women and always be an amazing role model for women. And Bethany has many examples of her literally doing the opposite. So then Bethany Frankel messaged Courtney Stodden after Courtney Stodden posted that and literally sent the most nasty, manipulative, victim energy message to Courtney Stodden. Courtney Stodden then posted the message like, literally, this is what I'm dealing with. And just making Bethany look so bad. And it's just one thing after another. And when Bethany left Housewives, like, it was really because she was above Housewives, you know? Like, they were just kind of lowbrow, really drink, like, alcoholic energy. She was going on Shark Tank. Like, it wasn't a good match for her anymore. You know what? Now it's a good match. Because everything Bethany has done in the last, like, year is really, like, bringing her down to a level, like, that is Housewives.
What did the message say?
I'll read it to you. It was so fucking rude. Ready?
Yeah.
And, like, then people commenting about their experiences while going on that show. It's just, it's not a good look for Bethany. Courtney. I can never find her fucking Instagram.
Who's Courtney? Bethany?
Courtney.
Maybe she's shadow banned.
She definitely is, by the way. I have to, like, search Courtney Stodden Instagram on Safari like a grandma. Okay, Courtney A. Stodden. Ready? Then here's the message. I just saw your post. I watched the entire interview again. As a woman in business and branding, I was listening to what you said your goals were. To be 19, to not go into porn, and to forge a new path. I was supportive of that choice, which you didn't show in any of your clips. Perhaps, unfortunately, how we present ourselves is part of our branding and marketing. You were certainly marketing yourself differently than you are now, which seems to be working for you. I wish you luck in your endeavors. If something I said upset or stuck with you, I'm sorry. Perhaps our conversation did contribute to the positive path that you embarked on. I do think about young women very much as a mother, and I believe that you changed your course and direction. That's inspirational. So not only is she saying, like, you are responsible for the way people treated you because you branded and marketed yourself like a whore because she basically dressed differently. She's also saying, oh, I shoved you in the right direction. Look what happened to you. Maybe it's because of the conversation we had, which is fucking delusional, narcissistic behavior. And if something I said upset you, I'm sorry. That's like not an apology.
Yeah.
So it's like she's getting into fights. She's like, I don't know what happened like in Bethany's career. I just didn't see this sort of fall from grace for her. Every time she's in the tabloids, she's talking now about Meghan Markle. She's talking about the Kardashians. It's Courtney Stodden. And it's like, it's giving like Perez Hilton energy.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it all has, not all has to do, but she has a podcast now. And like, that's what you got to do is talk and have some hot takes. And these are super hot. And I think she's not very soft.
No, I know. It's just, it's
just, do you agree that it's like low brow? From Shark Tank to podcast smack talker, it's a fall from grace a little.
Okay. I'm just like, every time I see her in the news, I'm like, ugh, what now?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand. But you also say that like her makeup reviews and stuff like do really
on
well.
TikTok. Yes.
And you have to feed the beast.
Yes, yes, yes.
She's becoming like a little bit of a content creator personality.
Yes.
Which is just a step down from being a shark. But this is what a digital personality does.
Yes, very true. Okay. So I just believe Lisa Kudrow's a nice person, honestly. Like, I'm not changing my opinion on it yet.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion. But this, to me, isn't, like, so damning. I agree with you. I could see how she thought she was doing something good based on what she saw on TV, which at the time I think a lot of us thought was real.
Yes, and we were, like, impassioned about it.
Yeah.
So those were the Fast Five. Now we're going to dive into TV recap, House of the Dragon, episode 3. We fast forwarded a little bit, 3 years into the future. Obviously, her best friend married her dad. They had two. Well, they have one on the way, and they had one kid, and they had a son, Aegon, which is a big deal because it's a man. And everyone's pretty much waiting for the dad to be like, never mind, venereal disease. Your brother's the heir. But he's not wavering. And Rhaenyra is giving some negative bratty energy, even though her dad literally has not given up on her.
Yeah, she's not making it easy for him, and he's trying to stand by her, but she's just not making it easy. He hasn't, like, he said that he's standing firm, but one, he does waver. He doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't know what's right. And so he is really weak in that sense. But I do feel like he's going to waver, which makes, like, what he said last night even worse. Like, worse. Telling her he's not gonna.
Because he's constantly going back on his word as it pertains to Rhaenyra. Also, was anyone else, like, the whole episode just waiting for him to drop dead? Like, I'm like, oh, he's going to die now. Like,
when he was so drunk at the hunt, I was like, I thought that either something bad was going to happen, or when he went to stab the deer, I thought maybe he would die in a way like Robert Baratheon, like a little poisoned wine. Mm. Someone accidentally kills him. Turns out it's not an accident.
So I love Sir Christian Cole. He's so hot. Obviously, I'm shipping him and Rhaenyra. So now that Rhaenyra has been given the blessing to choose who she's married to, and I don't think that the dad is being unreasonable. He's like, no one's going to give your claim any sort of validity, so you should make it as strong as possible. Like, marry a Lannister, have a son, like, so that people can digest the idea of you being queen. Like, she's not helping herself at all.
No, not at all. Even he's not above duty.
But speaking of him getting remarried, the way I hate that fucking friend, like,
okay,
when she was waltzing around the promenade sending the musician out, your queen commands. Bitch, shut up.
Okay, but like, she really could be so much worse, I feel. And maybe eventually she'll turn fully evil. I've seen people say that she's giving like Cersei vibes. I think she's being very patient with Rhaenyra, as she should be, considering she was her friend first. But it's not like she's like whispering the king like bad things about Rhaenyra. She doesn't want it. Anytime she has to go to him and like try and twist his arm, it's only because like her dad is putting her in that position. She's not innately a bad person.
I'm sorry. When Otto Hightower suggested that Rhaenyra marry Aegon, her 2-year-old brother.
The brother.
I literally died. Like, I'm deceased in heaven right now. Like, I was like, and I'm just grateful to the king for having a fucking normal reaction to that. Because not only is it disgusting on so many levels, it's just beyond.
I think that that was there to make the idea of Rhaenyra and Daemon more palatable. Because now I'm like, well, at least it's not her brother.
No, the way I'm obsessed with Rhaenyra and Daemon as a couple is, okay, like, it's so funny because that actor played Prince Philip in the show. And honestly, I didn't think he was handsome enough to be Prince Philip. And like, he kind of bothered me. The way I think he's so fucking hot now. And like, when he got out of that cave, and I love how like literally couldn't win the war for 3 years. Oh, my brother might come to help. Fuck him. I'm going to win today, right now. Went in, slayed the crabby man, and walked out with the blood on his neck. Oh my God, I was living for it.
Living. You do realize he didn't say one word the whole episode. He was just acting. Not one word from when he got off the dragon, went on his little rowboat, surrendered, fought the crab king eater. Not a word.
I did not realize that.
No lines in the script for him.
No words were spoken.
No words needed to be spoken.
And yet he was the star. Like, I was obsessed with that. Even though my confusion really lied within the crab area, I have literally no idea, like, what that was. Like, who are the crabs? And who's that guy? Like,
I think he's like king of the pirates, and he was disrupting their shipping lanes, like stealing their booty, because you could see like by the caves there was all of this
They were like hoarding stuff.
Yeah. And so they didn't have safe passage for their ships. And the Sea Snake, I think he's in charge of the
and
Suez.
And Sea Snake is Auntie's husband?
Auntie's husband. He's in charge of the Suez and various other shipping ports.
And then they wanted Rhaenyra to marry Sea Snake's son, who was that guy at the table.
Yep, good match.
I was into him because his fucking grandpa or that other guy was
uncle.
Being such a fucking...
Yad uncle
was being so negative.
So negative. Oh, my God. We don't have that kind of energy.
No, it's war. We need positive camaraderie if we all just wallow in self-pity like we're going to die.
Right. And as the nephew was saying, what have you done to fight the war? The only one who's fighting this war is Daemon.
Is Daemon. No, like, so obsessed with Daemon. I actually cannot remember a character, even from Game of Thrones, that I've, like, been more in love with. Like... Because it really was, like Jon Snow. Okay, yeah, for sure. But I'm obsessed with Daemon. Like, literally obsessed.
Obsessed. And I realize you think he's meant to be this ambiguous character. I saw this quote going around. I think it's from Game of Thrones about how, you know, the Targaryens have had people who are to some people a hero and to other people the villain. And I think that mm-hmm. he really toes that line really well. But
yeah, because he didn't have to beat up the messenger. You know, like, that was uncalled for.
Yeah. I just still want to know if when he was the gold cloaks, if those people were actually convicted thieves and rapists and murderers.
Yeah. No, it's an important distinction.
If he was just like walking around cracking skulls.
I did feel like the whole pig thing and then the white antler was like a little dumb.
But
like,
Game of Thrones loves that symbolism. And I know we're all feeling impatient because we want answers yesterday. But never forget that we sat through 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. How many wolves, dire wolves, did the Starks have that were symbolic?
Like, I was just confused. Okay, so this boar came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, that's the animal they're all looking for.
Yeah, I thought that too.
So then I'm like... Then they see the antelope. And I totally am with Rhaenyra. Like, let him go. Let him live.
No,
majestic.
That was... Okay. There's a difference between hunting as a sport and what the king did, which was so fucking losery.
No, of course. And he couldn't even do it on the first try,
it
fucking
was
loser.
So embarrassing. That's
but
not
also,
a sport. That's not.
Did you notice the king was wearing a glove the whole time? Like, I do think he lost the digit. Yikes. Perhaps more than one.
Yikes. But yikes. You know what? It's been about 4 years since the beginning of the show, and he's still alive.
Right. That's why I was like, oh, any minute now, drop dead.
Yeah.
The way Rhaenyra is so stunning. Like, this actress, like, she's just gorgeous.
I know. She really is.
She's amazing,
that girl.
Too.
And when she's she walks and she has the same style, like, in Spo as Dany. Mm-hmm. So when we're, like, seeing her walk from the profile, it's just, like, giving Dany across the seven seas.
It's giving Dany Targaryen, for sure.
Yeah. But she's got to work on her attitude. She's got to stop fighting with her dad. Like, you want him on your side, no?
She is 17, so like, she's obviously like a moody teenager.
But he's the difference between you becoming queen and you becoming a sorry person.
Yeah, and I know he's only 2, but like, I fucking hate Aegon.
Yeah.
He's not the vibe, like, stop.
I keep like accidentally seeing like small spoilers. I'm not going to spoil anything. I don't know what happens, but just like small things that... are annoying.
I'm not going to spoil anything either, but I did see a spoiler. I believe the first one that you saw about who marries Rhaenyra.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Yeah, I think I did, but I think I put it out of my mind.
No, and like, it was in my own messages from a toaster. Like,
that's wrong. You know, I'll tell you where I saw a spoiler.
Twitter.
One from Twitter, but I go looking for, I love people's tweets after the show. They're so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get some good, like, I didn't realize that Daemon didn't speak a word. I'm not going to lie. I saw that on Twitter.
Oh my God, fraud.
No, but fraudulent. I admitted it. Admitting it.
Fraudulent energy. You admitted it 10 minutes later.
Okay, but like, I want you guys to sink in. I'll tell you my sources.
Your sources. Okay.
Okay. I once saw a large family, not family tree.
Yeah.
Tree of...
Yeah,
royalty.
Like,
no, Robert Baratheon ends up on it. You know, like, it's not the Targaryen family tree. It's the tree of
Kings.
Succession.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. And then I was looking at a Game of Thrones article today on page 6. And it said this thing has spoilers for season 3. I was like, great. I already watched it. What could it be? Mm-hmm. And right there was something that's going to happen that hasn't happened yet. Sort of. Right there.
That's terrible.
I saw on Twitter, remember... Stannis's daughter, who was always reading.
Hold on. Stannis Baratheon
was
Robert's brother.
He was the war guy. You know, he always was with the Red Lady.
He was like skinny and tall.
Red Lady. Shadow with the face of Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
His daughter, his daughter, she had the red hair. She was like a little girl. She had a little bit of grayscale.
Oh, of course. And they killed her.
Oh my God. And they killed her in such a way.
In a sacrifice. Oh my God. I forgot about that. I forgot about
that part. But you know, she was always reading.
Of course. Literary queen. Ben hated her.
Who did she teach to read?
Ben hated her. Oh, someone who was living.
Hated her.
Yes, yeah, somebody who was living with them, like a man.
An important person who needed to read.
Was it? Where were they? The Red Lady. Yeah.
They were
yeah.
at.
Who was with them? Like, they were trying to win the war. I don't know, whatever.
Who the fuck did she teach to read?
All right, I'll Google it. Hang on. Stannis Baratheon daughter teaching person to read. I never know like what to Google. Ser Davos?
Ser Davos. Yes. He was Jon Snow's. Yes. Okay, great. She taught Davos to read. Thank you. Anyways, at one point she's talking about what she's reading. I saw like the quote, but I clicked out where she's talking about Rhaenyra because she was reading like the histories. And so I think that if you were to rewatch Game of Thrones, like
there would be spoilers.
There's mad spoilers because it's, you
know, I love that. Past. It's layered.
Layered. George doesn't do it any other way.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have two R's in his name for nothing.
Reads twice.
Layered ours. So Game of the Throne dragon, whatever it's called.
What were your questions? What were you confused about?
The crabs.
Oh.
Just all of the crabs.
Yeah. It was a like, lot.
The whole thing. Like, who the fuck is that man? Why is he wearing a mask? Was he burned from the dragons or just like in general?
I do think it was previous.
Yeah, me too. They look like old wounds.
Plus he already had the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like that popped up out of nowhere.
It was a little bit stupid.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm so glad we're in agreement. But Daemon prevails. Hopefully he can come home, sweep Rhaenyra off her feet. War hero.
Yad uncle.
And that's our show. It's been an hour and a half. I got to take a piss.
I have to pee so badly. I was almost going to do it before House of Dragon recap, but I was like, I can power through.
We have for Daemon. Our episodes like for the last 2 weeks have all been an hour and a half, and I'm going to get a UTI because like literally
every single day I'm holding in a pee so bad. We need to, if we're going to keep doing episodes this long, we have to put in a pee break.
Or we need to just like turn these buccal chairs into toilets.
With a bedpan underneath.
Love. A chamber pot.
A chamber pot.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us the Morning Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Bye.